The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Go to am1260therock.com and click on the orange donate button.
AM 1260 The Rock and the Catholic Diocese of Cleveland proudly present Where We Worship. This 30-minute locally produced program highlights Northeast Ohio's Catholic parishes and institutions, their rich histories, and what they do to meet the spiritual needs of those they serve. Now here's your host, Bob Tayak.
Welcome to Where We Worship, a program highlighting parishes and Catholic institutions throughout Northeast Ohio, with the intention of offering you insight and understanding on the importance of community in our Catholic faith. This program sponsored in part by the Catholic Diocese of Cleveland. Well, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops best describes the parish as the place where the church lives. Parishes are communities of faith, of action, and of hope, and they're where the gospel is proclaimed and celebrated. And parishes are the home of the Christian community. They are the heart of the church. And why are they essential to our relationship with God? One only needs to turn to Scripture. In his letter to the Hebrews, St. Paul writes, "We must consider how to rouse one another to live and do good works. And we should not stay away from our assembly, as is the custom of some, but encourage one another, and this all the more, as you see the day drawing near." Well, today on Where We Worship, we feature one of the newer parishes in the diocese and a special ethnic parish. La Sagrada Familia on Cleveland's west side serves a growing Hispanic community, a parish formed in 1997 when Cleveland's Hispanic community determined the need for a permanent parish to serve that growing community. And after two small communities, Capilla de Cristo Rey and San Juan Batista, petitioned Bishop Anthony Pilla, that new church, La Iglesia de la Sagrada Familia, broke ground on September 21st of 1996. Well, today, if you travel down Detroit Avenue near West 79th, you'll see the beautiful Spanish-style building where services were first held on Good Friday, April the 10th of 1998. And this is your host, Bob Tayak, and joining me on Where We Worship is the pastor of La Sagrada Familia, Father Adorato Garnica, affectionately known as Father Paco, along with parish staff members Mimi Colon and David Roth. And first, let's turn to you, Father Paco. Tell us a little history about Cleveland's Hispanic community and where it first became evident that there was this need to serve a Spanish-speaking Catholic population.
Thanks, Bob. We appreciate your invitation. Well, the history of Hispanic presence among the church in Cleveland has been a blessing, and a life of full moments of struggle and sadness, too. You know, I'm a Mexican priest who came to this diocese 12 years ago in order to be prepared as CSJ, a religious brother, and to study theology. My personal knowledge in regard of the Hispanic ministry and presence in the Diocese of Cleveland is kind of limited, but I know from parishioners who have been here since 1940s and from the people who pass on their stories to us that the Hispanic church in Cleveland was not well received in those days, speaking in 1960s, 70s, and 80s. That portion of Latinos, to say, were minority and their claimed and voices were not heard. So they were looking for a place to have presence and to their devotions might be celebrated in a certain way. So that's why that came the population to find the church.
You know, Father, it's so interesting as history repeats itself. As we've done discussions of the various parishes, one not too far from you, St. Rocco's, the Italians, and they were not welcome at the other churches for whatever reasons and needed to establish. And that seems to run fluidly through the development of Cleveland and then, of course, within the Catholic diocese and the Catholic churches itself. You are the first pastor, Father, of La Sagrada Familia, who is of Hispanic descent. Tell us how you came to minister here, and you're with the Congregation of St. Joseph, correct?
Yes. As I mentioned, I do belong to the Congregation of St. Joseph, founded in Italy by St. Leonard Murialdo 150 years ago, actually, March 19, 1873. So we are celebrating this year 150 years anniversary. So I joined to the Congregation in 2009 after working for 12 years in Mexico as business manager. I came to the U.S., to Avon, Ohio, to be precise, in August 2011, and started my master's in divinity and master's in arts at the St. Mary's Seminary around 2013. I was ordained in May 18, 2019. I was sent back to Mexico to do my first job as a chaplain to the big Catholic school of 2,500 students, and I was an associate pastor in one of the parishes we have in Sonora, Mexico. But at that time, the Bishop of Cleveland, now Archbishop of Philadelphia, Most Reverend Nelson de Jesus Perez, he offered to the Congregation of St. Joseph the opportunity to serve to the Hispanic community in Cleveland in La Sagrada Familia, and they chose me because I was a deacon for a year at Sacred Heart Chapel in Lorain, and I knew the diocese, the presbyterium, the culture, and of course the weather of Cleveland.
Yeah, sure.
That's why I ended up back in Cleveland with this blessed opportunity to be and to serve God's people.
And it's interesting, just so our listeners understand a little bit, because I know they're not that familiar. As you said, you first came here and went to Avon. Well, there's a good reason for that. The Congregation of St. Joseph has their home there for the members, but they also will send seminarians then on to St. Mary's Seminary in Cleveland, that type of thing. So that's how that brought you to Avon,
exactly, I guess. Exactly, that's correct.
Right. Sagrada Familia, I'm just curious, Father, does it serve different peoples of Spanish descent? Because we've known a long time, you know, you had, I think it's the Mexican population predominantly in Painesville, Puerto Rican, of course, in Lorain. Is a mix, or is there a particular broad base to your congregation?
Well, we know, the Sagrada Familia has been a center for many good works in regard of social justice, defense of migrants and refugees. It is a community, a church, to say, with the presence of 19 different countries, different ideas and traditions. As you said, we start with this reality, workers, different realities coming from different places, different countries. Puerto Ricans first is a good group. They started, as well, Mexicans and others. They were working in the steel factories and also some of the places around the Cleveland area. So they need some place to celebrate and worship in their ways, in their traditions, in their language. Mm-hmm. So that's the reason why we started this idea. And as I said, that this information has been shared with us by the all members of the church.
I was going to say, David or Mimi, as staffers, does that ever present, I don't want to even say an issue, but is it something you have to deal with? You do have different Hispanic cultures coming forward. David?
I think it's a richness. Mm-hmm. And other cultures, for example, the many celebrations that we have. The Mexicans have La Virgen de Guadalupe. And that is a very beautiful ceremony that they have. They have dance involved with the Mass. They invite the bishop to come. But also of learning that I did not know from, we have our families from Peru, which did El Señor de los Milagros, the Lord of the of Miracles. So you learn their history, and you learn their way of celebrating. Or La Virgen de La Providencia de Puerto Rico. There's many different versions of Mary that we're learning how she has involved herself in our culture and in our history.
Boy, that is fascinating. In fact, I'd like to touch some more on some of those traditions in a little bit, especially as we're heading towards Holy Week. When we return, La Sagrada Familia, a parish of wonderful Hispanic religious traditions, as we just had described, especially as we approach Holy Week, we'll talk about that on Where We Worship on AM 1260, The Rock. You're listening to Where We Worship on AM 1260 St. Peter the Rock Radio, with special thanks to the Diocese of Cleveland for support of this program. And this is your host, Bob Tayak, with a message to our listeners. Are you a digital subscriber to the weekly email newsletter provided by the Diocese of Cleveland? Right before the weekend begins, the Diocese delivers a series of updates and stories from ministries throughout Northeast Ohio, as well as Bishop Edward Malesic's Gospel Reflection for that Sunday. Be sure to visit dioceseofcleveland.org and click on the subscriber box that pops onto your screen. And now as our interview continues, my guests are Father Adorato Garnica, Father Paco, better known, at Sagrada Familia Parish in Cleveland on the Near West Side, along with staffers Mimi Colon and David Roth. And as we talked a little bit about this, there is a wonderful Hispanic spirituality that I think many of the Catholics across the diocese may not be aware of, that of course is practiced then and observed. And Mimi, I know you said that it runs a gamut of the Hispanic culture as far as the numbers of people and what they like to practice there at Sagrada Familia.
Correct. As Father mentioned earlier in the segment that we have various cultures. We have people from Colombia, Puerto Rico, Santo Domingo, Mexico, Peru, Guatemala, Salvador. I mean, the list goes on and on. So we're very fortunate and grateful to be able to provide services and give these people what they're missing from their own country.
I think it has to be, for you as staffers, and Dave and Mimi, I toss this to you, kind of gratifying to see that these people have had to migrate to this new country and a whole new culture, and yet they have a pretty strong faith. Would you suggest that that's the case?
Yeah, I think they come to us because they feel comfortable at the parish. A lot of things are word of mouth, so they hear about us, the only Hispanic parish in the Diocese of Cleveland, and they seem to migrate to us, and we provide as many services to them, starting from obviously the religious part, but we also provide classes for like refugees, and we teach them English in the parish. So there's a lot more other than the services at church that we provide for them, seeing that there is a big need in the community, more than what we can offer them, but we also try to provide them guidance when we can.
Well, this really is an example of parish as a community.
I was thinking it's very important for the community, to all the Hispanics, to come to us because it's their native language. And that is where they started their relationship with God. So it means a lot more stronger to them when they're speaking in Spanish than in English.
I'd like to touch now, Father or Mimi, David, about particularly Holy Week that's coming up and some particular Hispanic tradition that takes place then. Could you give us a little insight on what will go on there at Sagrada Familia?
So just to mention, we have invitation from the diocese to open our doors for the people who's coming to pray, especially for during Holy Week. And we have the Holy Week as well before. The nights of night prayer, when we open the doors at 8:15 p.m., just to let them come to us and pray together the night prayer during 7 days, 9 days. And then we have the 19th of March, as you mentioned, the Feast of St. Joseph, 150-year anniversary. And during Holy Week, we have, of course, all the celebrations like a Latino particular way. We have the Sawdust Carpets.
Yeah, please tell us about that. I'm just really curious because I know that even media gets interested in that. It's very unusual. It's very much a tradition coming from which culture? Mimi?
So actually our priest prior to Father Paco was Father Robert Reedy, and he came to us from El Salvador, and he originally brought the idea of doing the sawdust carpets. And over time, he asked some of the youth in the parish, and they took on the project, and we do it every other year because we switch off with St. Michael's, where the procession starts and ends. And it's just been something that he brought, and we embraced it, and hopefully we can do it for many more years to come.
So how we actually do it,
yeah, please,
is the entire gym will be covered with these sawdust carpets. And what they do is they put plastic all over the floor, and they actually put the images on there. So there'll be an outline of Jesus on the cross. So therefore, you know what color needs to go there. Some people, depending on their artistic ability, which is not me, they use actual sand, and they use brushes to do it. For the people who are not as artistic as me, they would use sawdust, and they actually have to color it in. So people actually get their hands with paint and mix up the sawdust. And then they just bring it over to the what is already on the actual floor. They actually put the sawdust accordingly. And each, for example, my family did last year 2 squares. And it was already there, and I invited my family, and we did those squares.
And these are, it could be a figure of Christ on the cross, but something related to the faith or to Holy Week. What might be their meaning?
Correct. They can do anything, any kind of religious thing, or we have a lot of groups in our parish. So like the Association of the Mexicans, we also have like the Knights of Columbus. the Dominicans. So they either do like a image of the Virgin Mary or their country. And this is not open just to the members of our parish. We open it also up to the community. So we welcome people from the outside who take an interest to come and join us and celebrate this celebration of the sawdust carpets.
I was going to say, because my godson, Ayahada, was, why do we do this? Remember doing this last year? And he was asking, why do it? Because we are giving a sacrifice. We are working so hard, making something so beautiful for God. And we know that, yes, without God, we wouldn't be anything. And the same thing, yes, we're going to walk across it on Good Friday. But all that work we're doing, but we still need God for everything.
That's what I was going to ask you. The real purpose behind this, so you have these beautiful art forms, on the floor in sawdust, color, paint, but it culminates with what happens on Good Friday?
We actually walk across it. Everyone walks across. It's totally destroyed.
And it's totally destroyed, reflecting on Christ, of course, in his sacrifice for us. Just marvelous work and something worth seeing. When are they completed? When are they there on display? Is it on the Sunday before, Father?
Yeah, we are planning to start Palm Sunday, after Palm Sunday services. So they are coming to draw the lines and the squares and just to prepare everything. So Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, they are going to work from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. the whole day. Inviting people to come. They're going to be displayed starting Holy Thursday in the morning all the way to the night, and then Friday the whole day too. So because we have the procession too, so everyone who's coming to the procession, they're going to see it too. They're going to be destroyed. And just to let you know something, last year somebody came to me. They saw the beautiful art we have, and they say, why are you destroying this? And I say, because we're supposed to put all our work and the art we can do with our hands just at the service of God, because Jesus has to walk over the way we are doing for him. So that is the service, that is the sense, that is the celebration of the way.
Just a marvelous one, and what a beautiful sacrifice in many respects. Well, coming up, La Sagrada Familia, keeping the faith practice in Cleveland's Hispanic community on AM 1260, The Rock. You're listening to Where We Worship, featuring La Sagrada Familia Parish on Cleveland's west side. My guests are Father Honorato Garnica, Father Paco as he's known, the pastor at La Sagrada Familia, along with staffers Mimi Colon and David Roth. And Father, you mentioned several of these, but priorities at the parish as far as the ministries to serve the people and to keep them and bring them into a stronger faith practice. What are your priorities as pastor?
Well, we are trying to come back in certain way after COVID situation. You know, many people didn't come back to church because of that. So we are trying to emphasize in certain way to feel them inclusive, part of this parish and this family, to invite them to come the much they can, to reach out to them and work together. But also to emphasize the stewardship, because that is important also to keep the church alive. And to make them feel like they are responsible also for the life of the parish. So social justice is important part too, and also youth ministry, because that is the CSJ importance work.
I just wonder, and I'll throw this to any of you, has the parish been involved in trying to assist migrants? I mean, we know that's a top of mind issue. Is there any plans? I think, Mimi, you mentioned even though you've got English classes and things of that sort that might be there for the migrant.
Correct. We have refugees and immigrants that are heavily, we try to do programs for them in the parish. Right now we have Catholic Charities runs a program through us where they can come during the week and they learn how to speak English. We also, there's other things. We don't have too many programs that we can assist with, but we have our food pantry, our St. Martin de Porres, that we help and try to provide food for those in need. Anything that we could do, sometimes it's beyond our scope that we can do, but we also have enough information where we could provide them and route them where to go so they're not struggling on their own.
You know, I always ask this question in these interviews. Is it a struggle reaching younger people in this culture? It tends to dismiss organized religion, etc. David, what are you able to do, or what's your perspective on that?
I think it is a little bit of giving them ownership and not just having the adults do it. I've just recently got one of my fifth graders who is in PSR, he's now reading during the regular adult mass on the adult schedule. And I'm looking to get more of those students so they're actually participating. Or getting more of, for example, having the altar server class during catechism, getting them in. Getting the kids to, maybe they don't go to church all the time, but they go to catechism. But they can say to their parent, hey, now I can do this. I want to go to church. And giving them a voice in their actual growth. And kind of pushing their parents to do and get them back into the faith.
A real challenge. I mean, pastor after pastor that I talk to, you know, talks about that very thing. And it's an interesting point you bring up, David, as far as sometimes it's a case of we need to get the parents back to going on a regular basis to attend before we can even start talking about the children who are, of course, susceptible to them. Father, you know, that's probably a challenge as well, to get that mass attendance.
It is, in certain ways, a big challenge, but also an opportunity for us to reach out and to energize the parish life, because we need some young ministry to. They are the presence and the future of the church, so we need them back. Sure. As a matter of fact, we are trying to invite a group of kids to play basketball in our place, so they can come to a church in the way to feel, as David said, like they are part of this place. Is their place, is their home.
Are there any other ministries you would like to highlight that you think are exceptional or much needed and used at Sagrada Familia that the public ought to know about?
I think what we're doing, not just in ministries in general, is just loving the richness of the cultures at Sagrada Familia. So this year, for example, for catechism, we for Christmas emphasized Mexico. I had known from my Mexican friends the Christmas flower, poinsettias, mean something. One of my catechists came to me and said, hey, there's something totally different here with piñatas. I went to her. What is she talking about? She didn't even know. So I was being taught by other people of the parish that this piñata actually means five different things, and we're teaching the kids to make the extra piñatas. We're actually mean the meaning of it. There's significance in it. This year we did the Mexican. I'm thinking next year let's do the Dominican Republic. Let's enrich ourselves by the cultures that we have and the history that we have to make us even better and stronger in our faith.
Amen. Well done. If someone wants to learn more about the parish, what's their best way to communicate with you?
Well, we have the website, sagradafamilia.org, and they can come to see everything that we have there. We have the Facebook page as well. We are trying to reach out now the different ways to. We have the blog note. We are trying to get even YouTube as well, so they can have some information. We're just working to set the camera so they can people see live stream. Holy Hours as well, some of the important masses too.
Oh, well, very good, very good. Father, I'm going to ask you for a favor. For our Spanish-speaking audience that may be just recognizing this radio station as the Catholic radio station, we do have a component, a Spanish-speaking component that one can access. And I wondered, in Spanish, if you would, to let those potential listeners know that they can go to am1260therock.com and look for the button on the top right that says Escuchar? Could you do that in Spanish for
sure,
me?
Claro que sí. Invitamos a todos los hermanos y hermanas de habla hispana a que visiten esta estación de radio que es en 1260 de la AM, therock.com. Podrán entrar a ese lugar y encontrar el botón que dice Escuchar y escuchar todos los segmentos importantes que hablan de Dios y nos invitan a reflexionar.
Amen. Well, you've been listening to Where We Worship, and this is your host, Bob Tayak. This presentation featuring La Sagrada Familia Parish on Cleveland's West Side. Where We Worship is a production of AM 1260, St. Peter the Rock Radio, focusing on the essential aspects of community worship and participation in our Catholic life. And as written in the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 2, prayer as a community is essential for our spiritual growth and personal well-being. God does not intend for us to bear our crosses alone.
Thank you for listening to Where We Worship with host Bob Tayak, presented by AM 1260 The Rock and the Catholic Diocese of Cleveland. If you missed any part of today's show, you can listen to the program in its entirety by going to our website, am1260therock.com, and clicking the On Demand tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Click on the orange donate button at AM1260TheRock.com.